The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness, and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent, and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. In a certain sense, liturgically, we're starting from scratch this weekend, and beginning with this Mass, and then continuing over 12 months, we'll again begin to trace the life of Jesus Christ from the time when the Jews were anxiously awaiting his appearance, to his time in the womb, to his birth, to his being greeted by the shepherds and the angels, to his flight into Egypt and return, to his presentation in the temple, to his 40 days in the desert, to his baptism, his public miracles, his going up to Jerusalem for the Last Supper, his trial, crucifixion, and death, his resurrection, ascension, his sending the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, at the end of those 12 months, we'll be looking at his return in glory, his second coming, which we particularly anticipated last week on the Feast of Christ the King, the last Sunday in the liturgical year. In the Gospels, some 21 times, Jesus says, "Follow me," which is exactly what we do, we try to do in the liturgical year, tracing his steps along the route of salvation history, and ourselves trying to become more and more like him, the one that we were following. And hopefully each year, and all of us here are 1 year older than we were on the last Sunday, last year's first Sunday in Advent, we will have this liturgical year the experience of a deepening of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that should happen every time we enter the new year. Now, compared to what will unfold in the church's liturgy these next 12 months, our civil new year, beginning on January 1st, it means relatively little. Does anyone recall why it is that we celebrate the new year on January 1st? The idea came from Julius Caesar, and he decided that the year should begin in January. And this was the case beginning in the year 46 BC. And Caesar chose January because that month was dedicated to the pagan god Janus, who had two faces, and the two faces were looking in opposite direction. And Caesar thought it was appropriate to begin the new year with one of these faces looking back, if you will, and the other face looking forward into the new year. So, practically speaking, January 1st has little significance for us. It doesn't mean much. But this first Sunday in Advent 2012 should mean something. And the church actually encourages us to make New Year's resolutions now so that we can make this new liturgical year a real year of faith, as Pope Benedict has designated it. We're preparing in Advent for the Lord's coming. First, practically, and in your families, I'm sure, for his coming in history in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And then we're also preparing for his coming at the end of history, as we read in the Gospel today, on the clouds with power and glory. And at every Mass, we are also preparing, as we are even at this moment, we're preparing for his coming to us in the present, most especially in the Eucharist, when he comes into onto our altar, and then we receive him in our bodies and our souls. If you look at these readings that we've been given for this Sunday, there's a sharp contrast between those who prepare well and those who prepare poorly for Christ's coming. And Jesus contrasts those who are awake and alert, hopefully that's us, and those who are asleep and drowsy. Those who prepare well, we're told, are vigilant at all times. And St. Paul gives us a kind of remedy when our hearts want to sleep. He urges us to be blameless in holiness, to be increasing and abounding in love for one another, with the same love that he has for us. In other words, you might say that Paul is teaching us that the best defense is a good offense. We're called to be growing in love, especially for Jesus Christ, and to be loving others as in the same way that he loves us. Our early church fathers, they used to use this image of oil in the lamps for the arrival of the bridegroom. And they would say that no matter when the bridegroom comes, we need the oil in the lamps to be ready to go to the wedding banquet. And in this image of the oil in the lamps, the oil is our love for God. And we want to be sure then that the oil in our lamps is not running low. If our lamps are full, we can be sure we won't be left out in the cold. Now here, since I talked about a new year in resolutions, here are just three to consider, and of course there could be variations on these. And each one is intended to help you and your family to live this Advent well, and for there to be the possibility that in some important way Advent will bring an important change in your own life. They're geared to help you to grow concretely in love for Jesus Christ, to stay more awake and vigilant in prayer, so you'll be ready to welcome the Lord whenever he comes. Here are just three ideas. First, do what might be possible to attend daily Mass during Advent. The best way to prepare to meet the Lord is to come to him every day in his real presence in the Eucharist. Now sometimes, maybe most of the time, it'll be practically impossible to be at daily Mass. But if we really believe in his real presence and love him, we would at least strongly desire to be at daily Mass. And it is possible to unite ourselves to him in spiritual communion whenever we cannot attend. Before I was a seminarian, I used to certainly in the several years before I became a seminarian, I got in the practice of attending daily Mass. But even on those days, and it's still the case today, when I have the opportunity to hear the daily Mass homily on EWTN, I always try to hear it, usually after I've had Mass here in one of our parishes. Unfortunately, I discover when I hear a good homily on EWTN, I'm thinking, gosh, I wish I had thought of that and put that into my homily. It would have been quite a bit better than it was. But in any event, catching the homily, catching the Mass on EWTN is one of the ways to enter into this reality that I'm talking to about, at least spiritually. And if even that's not possible, you know, we now have this beautiful 24-hour Adoration Chapel. Stop in there. Stop in any Catholic church. Jesus is just as present here in the tabernacle as he is in the Adoration Chapel. So whatever might be possible in your schedule, connect, if you will, directly with the real presence of the Lord in the Eucharist. And that'll help us to remain vigilant and awake and abounding in his love. By the way, at the entrance to the church, I think in back here and on the tables at the very entrance, we have copies of the Magnificat Advent Companion booklets. And those booklets have meditations for each day of Advent. I think every one is geared to the scripture readings of the Mass. So again, if particularly whether you can attend Mass or not, those could be helpful to you during Advent. So pick up a copy for yourself. It's a way to unite yourself more closely, certainly to Christ in the Mass. A second resolution flows from the first, and it's to increase and abound in personal prayer during Advent. Of course, not stopping in Advent, but that strengthening that prayer foundation in Advent. Jesus urges us at all times be vigilant and pray, and to live Advent well, to live this whole liturgical year better than we did last year. We do what we can to strengthen our relationship with Jesus Christ and to pray more and better. And there's none of us who cannot do more and better. In Advent, you know, that's really countercultural because the tone of the season these weeks, just before Christmas, we know it, it's all about materialism and commerce. And of course, these have virtually nothing to do with preparation for Christmas. And as a practical matter, we'll do whatever's possible, again, according to our own circumstances, to minimize the amount of time we spend in stores and in online shopping. And I apologize to anybody who's in the retail industry. I'm trying to speak the truth. We want to stay away from the commercialism of this season if we want to have any hope of having a more proper preparation for the arrival of our Lord at Christmas. And the third and last resolution flows from the second, to pray as a family. The earliest saints of the church always taught that our families, our homes, are to be domestic churches. In fact, the very first churches were, in fact, in homes, where God is served, praised, and loved above all. They're called, our homes, like churches, to be houses of prayer. Now, if you think about it, I know beginning maybe even before Thanksgiving, back in November, that Advent is a time when many of our homes often take on an outwardly external appearance of things associated with Christmas, and that's great. But there is more than just a small bit of hypocrisy in all this if these homes, which are beautifully decorated on the outside, in fact are not, on the inside, houses of prayer. The most beautiful and elegant decorations in the world would actually mean very little at this Christmas, as we approach Christmas, unless they were accompanied by our hearts adorned with the love of Jesus Christ. So another thought is if you live alone or have neighbors who live alone, gather them together for prayer with you. And one approach would be to pray regularly each evening at the lighting of the Advent wreath. That's just one idea. I want to mention also that right after communion today, the ushers will be passing out baskets with names of saints in the basket. As the basket comes your way, you're invited to pick out from the basket the name of a saint and to ask for the intercession of this saint for you during the Advent season so that you can grow in holiness in Advent and throughout the year. Christmas does not arrive until the vigil Mass on Christmas Eve. I know the culture tells us something else. We're in a period of preparation. Christmas comes with the first Mass on Christmas Eve. In the meantime, we're in Advent. We are waiting. It's also a time of penitence. And you'll find in the bulletin in the next week or two, you'll see the extra times that we are scheduling for confessions. I think the first extra time we have is when our parish mission starts another week from now. We look ahead to Jesus' coming, and as the gospel tells us, we stand erect with our heads held high. We Christians, we live in hope. We do not live in fear. Our experience of God is not limited by all of our human weaknesses. Our experience of God is not limited even by the reality of our own sinfulness. God is always one or more steps ahead of us. He has a plan for you and me that far exceeds our greatest desires.